You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Rob, Joe and Anika.
If you don't listen to The Playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks.
The studio just feels empty today.
It does.
It does.
No Rob, no Anika.
No Rob, no Anika. Yeah.
Well, Anika is next door.
Anika's right next door.
She's literally spinning some what is it? Not spinning the deck, spinning some vinyls right now.
Yeah.
Just hoping she might look up and see us talking about talking some smokes, eh? Nah, yeah, she's in the zone, man. She's in the zone.
Yeah, welcome to the Playbook. It is myself and the lovely Smashton.
Hello.
How we doing?
I'm good.
How have you been? How has the show been going? You're on Powered Up Radio.
One half of Powered Up Radio. It's been going good. We had a really good show last night, Monday night. We had a Jake Love on the show, a really great local musician. He was super fun. Bought the best Bicky game he could. And it was really, really great show. Aside from that, I've been chilling. Got pretty swamped with assignments right now. So
yeah,
that's going to be a fun second half of this week.
It is that time of the year where assignments start swamping up. You've got exams. Yeah, it is a very hectic time.
This time next week I'll be chilling though. It's going to be beautiful.
Bro, same, and I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, we are here to talk about sport. There was a big weekend of sport over the weekend. Again, man, it just feels weird not having Rob or have us kick us off.
Yeah, man. I miss Rob ribbing me. I'd be sitting next to him in the occasional appearances I got here, and he'll take the piss out of something to do with West Ham or
something to do with that. But thing is, you can't really talk about Premier League football. Oh, I guess you. Oh, I mean, we had the UEFA Champions League final this weekend.
True.
Tell us about that.
I did watch that. It was a 7 o'clock kickoff. It was delayed actually because there was some trouble outside the stadium with Liverpool fans trying to get in, and they were being tear gassed actually, which is pretty hectic. So the kickoff was delayed by about 45 minutes. But
oh wow,
that was really the most interesting part of the game. It was I was about halfway through the second half, about 70th minute, watching it, and I forgot that this is one of the biggest games of the year. So yeah, pretty uneventful. 1-0 to Real Madrid. They took the title, which is what I wanted. Don't want Liverpool winning because they'll never shut up about it. Not much of a Liverpool fan, if I say so myself. But yeah, so another year of football pretty much gone. The last that was probably the last big game of the season where everyone internationally kind of kept an eye on it, apart from the Championship playoffs. But yeah. Pretty uneventful game, but congratulations to Real Madrid for taking out that title.
You guys were sort of supporting Real Madrid, especially last week when we were doing the Premier League special.
Yeah.
And you guys were rooting for more or less, I guess Real Madrid was your guys' favourites.
The reason behind that pretty much is Liverpool had the chance to get the quadruple this year, which is pretty hard to get. That's four trophies in English football, which is the Premier League, the Champions League, I think the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup. So the Carabao and FA Cups are domestic English competitions.
Yeah.
That's basically all the leagues in England play against each other. Champions League is like the top three teams from each professional league in Europe play against each other. And the Premier League, of course, is the top flight of English football. Yeah, it's pretty. So they were seriously looking like they were going to win all four of those.
Yeah.
They did win the Carabao and the FA Cup. So they got two of the four, but they lost the Premier League on the final game day, which we talked about last week. And, of course, they lost the Champions League final Sunday morning.
Damn.
So it was great to see them not win. It's good to see some tears in Liverpool fans' eyes.
I mean, overall, how has this year of football been, or this season been?
It's been great. It started off really promising with a very good transfer window. Like the first time in a long time where both Messi and Ronaldo were playing for different clubs.
Yeah.
And it was very, very exciting just in terms of like really good transfers from clubs and brand new teams. And like the Premier League, Brentford made their Premier League debut and stayed up pretty convincingly. Around the world, of course, there was also some just good football, pretty much. I mean, Ligue 1 and the Bundesliga, which is the French and German top flights, respectively, are kind of always the same, kind of the top two or three teams competing for the top slot. They're kind of farmers' leagues, but, oh, well, that's there's still good opportunity for players to go and play over there, I guess. But no, it was a good year for football. It was a really good finish to the Premier League season. this year, but I didn't really keep too much up to date with the other leagues. I know AC Milan, Italy, won their first Scudetto, or their first trophy in, I think it was 11 years, which was really good. Good for them, because they've had a pretty significant...
Anika's grooving next door.
She's vibing. Yeah, so AC Milan had a bit of a dip in form over the last decade or so, but they've built it back up through smart transfers and good team spirit, and then they've taken the title out again, which is really good for them. I think PSG won Ligue 1, same as usual. They're super, super rich. You see with that Mbappe contract pretty recently. And Bayern Munich won the Bundesliga, same old story. Nothing unusual, yeah.
But we were talking about their transfer. Was it last week? To the possible transfer to Liverpool, but that's not definite.
Yeah, right? That was from the Liverpool Echo. So, yeah. I mean, that's in terms of transfers to Liverpool, that's pretty rich, especially considering he just signed his new contract with PSG. That would be outrageous to just absolutely ignore that deal he got just to go to Liverpool.
But he's got so much power. At least Jack was telling me that he has so much power.
I'm not 100% sure the exact deal on his contract, but I know he has... Well, I don't know for a fact, but there was rumours that he pretty much had final says on transfers. Basically, was just a member of the board at the club. So I'm not 100% sure if that is true. Because I have like two football sources that I pretty much use, because I know they're like 100% legit. And I haven't really had a look at those and seen about the Mbappe deal. But it's a pretty wild contract anyway. Aside from however involved he is with the board and the club's decisions, then he's still earning a lot of money. A lot of money, especially for, I think he's 22, 23 years old. It's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's pretty much achieved everything he can for a footballer and some. He's got a World Cup.
At such a young age, right?
Yeah, it's incredible.
That is insane.
Props to him, to be fair. He's obviously earned that. Bit extreme, but yeah.
Sure. Yeah, man. Jeez, I guess that's that for football.
Oh, one more thing with football, if you don't mind me mentioning.
Go ahead.
The Championship playoff, which is... The second tier of English football is the EFL Championship, and the playoff final was Monday morning, and that decided who got promoted to the Premier League and who stayed in the Championship. And Nottingham Forest won that playoff. That's the first time they've been up in the Premier League for some time. I think it's like 14, 15 years. So it's good for them. It's good for them to be back up in the Prem. They obviously busted their asses to get a good season. But, yeah, I thought that would be worth mentioning because, you know.
Definitely worth it, because then they boost them up to the Premier League. But, I mean, you guys were saying last week that doesn't necessarily mean they'll do well in the Premier League.
No, it's the Premier League, since they were last in, has completely changed. Money has become such a significant part of success now, where some teams just buy their way to success. And, I mean, there are teams like Fulham and Norwich, which pretty much just swap places, winning the Championship and getting relegated from the Premier League year in, year out, until one of them has an exceptionally bad season in the Championship and they just sit mid-table or something. But let's hope that Forest don't become a yo-yo club. I mean, we've seen Brentford get promoted for the first time ever in the Premier League's history, and they've stayed up. So, I mean, you know, we'll guess we'll see what happens. We've got the transfer window coming up, which is going to be huge. Looking forward to that. So we'll see if they make some signings, see if they don't. We'll just have to see what the future holds.
See what the future holds.
Yeah.
Insane. Such a crazy season of football. There's always so much football going on.
100%.
Like, it's always
even in the off season. There's FIFA World Cup as well, and the international break, which I'm fizzing for. Absolutely fizzing for. In New Zealand, I think we got a qualifier against Costa Rica on the 14th of June.
Yeah.
In Qatar and Doha, and that decides whether we qualify or not. Which I think we can win it on paper. Our squad's definitely better.
Yeah.
But I think Costa Rica are like top 50. In like world rankings, where we're kind of down in the 130, 140th. So, I mean, I think this is the best New Zealand team we've had in some time. We've got Chris Wood up top leading the charge, and he's
a very good striker.
He's been a Premier League player for a long time now. He's got a good CV on him. Got young players that are playing across Europe as well. We just have a good team. A really good team, so I'm hoping that weekend. I think it'll be down to the wire, like penalties or a really scrappy game, but just got to watch it and see what happens.
Just got to watch it, man. Oh, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, look, there's actually a lot of F1 news, but I don't have a resident F1 expert with me because Nika usually watches it, so She's not here, so I think I might need to make a phone call real quick. Hold on.
Hello.
Amelia?
Yes?
I need your help.
Yes, what's wrong?
I don't know what happened on the F1 on the weekend. Can you tell me, please?
I can tell you lots. Anything specific you'd like to know?
So Monaco was this weekend, and I heard it was quite chaotic, quite a bit of a weird race, right?
Yeah, it was delayed at the start because of rain, and that quite confused me because I'm just like, since when do these drivers not drive in the rain? That's something that they know how to do. And so they delayed it for 10 minutes, then they got on the track, and then it started pissing down once again, so they delayed it for another hour, which was a pain in the ass because at that point it was like 2:30 in the morning here and I was already knocked out.
Mm.
And then once it got underway again, it was a typical Monaco race in the sense that the track is so bloody narrow that you're not going to get many good overtakes. It was kind of a race decided by strategy, or in Ferrari's case, a lack of strategy. They really dogged Charles Leclerc this race. I feel so bad for him. This is his home Grand Prix. I don't think he's ever finished a home Grand Prix. He's always had some sort of accident or chaos, or, you know, hasn't been able to start the race. He had every chance to win this race, but Ferrari just were not thinking straight whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now what was your take on, did you see Mick Schumacher's crash, that weird crash where it split his car in half?
Yeah, that was pretty insane, but I read somewhere that following Romain Grosjean's crash in 2020, the big one where he caught on fire basically, that they've designed the cars to split in half to prevent any big explosions like what we saw then. So it was really bloody scary, but at least it kind of did what it was designed to do based off that horrific accident that we saw.
Mm. Yeah, now Monaco's typically a street circuit. It's always been, street circuits are usually quite narrow. However, I was watching this video and someone explained how the track has largely been unchanged, right? And since the race started, I think it was in the 50s, maybe earlier, F1 cars back then were a lot smaller so they could handle those tight corners better. Nowadays, we see F1 cars which are a lot wider, you know, and a lot more faster, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that does sort of play into, you know, overtaking and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they're about 0.5 meter wider nowadays than when they were in the first Monaco Grand Prix in 1950. And yeah, it's remained unchanged. It's kind of like there's a purist mentality around Monaco. Like, it is just a classic piece of motorsport history. It's a big piece of heritage, so why change it? But I think we're at the point now where Monaco won't be on the calendar in the future unless big changes are made.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, and on a more important note, as far as like the whole sport of Formula One, they have been deeply dissatisfied with the FIA recently. In fact, I think they were publicly criticised at the Monaco Grand Prix, and the indications of increasing schism between the F1 and FIA, especially within the new president. Do you know much about that?
Yeah. I feel like the FIA, they were a bit rough this weekend. Given last year there was so much controversy with the FIA, with especially the last race in Abu Dhabi, it's kind of, Formula One fans thought like, okay, well, we can only go up from here. But I feel like the FIA, they're kind of not focusing on what needs to be focused on, but focusing on things like, oh, a jewellery ban or bogus stuff like that, but they're not talking about how to make the racing better, how to make it more fair, and a massive lack of communication in this race as well. Like, there were multiple instances where there were a few accidents, and they weren't going to investigate them in the race. They're going to investigate them after the race, which that's your job, you know? You're meant to see these issues, investigate them in the race, and give a result before the end of the race. But there were so many things that happened that they were just like, okay, well, we've noted that, but we'll investigate it later. And I just feel like, yeah, I have heard that F1 and the FIA, that they want it, there's like, yeah, a bit of a skirmish going on. They're not really seeing eye to eye. I don't think FIA and F1 really have the same vision for the sport at the moment. So I'd like to see where that goes. But in the past, there have always been little bits of, you know, fracas between F1 and the FIA, and it always kind of resolves itself because they need each other. You know, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. I'm also reading here that they've even some of their reports into controversies, such as like the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, was also unsatisfactory because they failed to genuinely address what happened to like Lewis Hamilton in that race, which ultimately cost him his 8th title.
Yeah, and there are like conspiracies around that, whether they did that intentionally to kind of break the Hamilton Mercedes dominance. And well, it worked. It clearly worked. But I don't know how to feel about the FIA at the moment. They've been doing some silly things, and I feel like they haven't really addressed the core issues of the FIA. They've kind of done like a superficial, we'll change the president, we'll add some new race directors, but we won't do much more than that. You know, I just feel like there's been a real lack of meaningful change in the FIA. So it kind of does need a rehaul, and I think something like the GPDR, the Grand Prix Drivers Association, which is like a union of drivers led by Sebastian Vettel, who kind of implement or like suggest things that the FIA need to do better. And hopefully they just take some of those things into account.
Mm. Yeah, now, off topic on F1, what was your thoughts on Scott Dixon over the weekend? Unfortunately, not coming up with the win at the Indy 500. He was just cut short due to, I think it was a pit stop, his pit crew.
Yeah, it was sad. He got a mega qualifying lap, so fast. You know, getting P1 at the Indy 500. He is a king around Indianapolis. But yeah, had to do a little drive through penalty, which completely ruined his race. But at least he finished better than the other Scott, who was out with an accident.
Mm, yeah, Scott McLaughlin, yeah. Damn, so not a good day for the Kiwis.
Not a good day for the Scots whatsoever.
No. So we have Azerbaijan, I want to say. Azerbaijan, the Grand Prix coming up in about, I want to say, like 2 weeks.
Yes, I love Azerbaijan. It's a street circuit. It's also quite narrow, but there have been some fantastic races at Azerbaijan. It has these really long straight sections with DRS, so you're just hooning through them. But we've seen, I think it was either last year or 2020, we saw a few tyre issues where when Max Verstappen and Lance Stroll were both going down that long ass straight, their tyres exploded, and it's so dangerous because there's no runoffs. You know, if you crash or you lose control, straight into the concrete, and that's really terrifying thing, but it's also a part of the sport. You know, street circuits are their own thing that these drivers train for, so it'll be really exciting, especially with these new cars, to see how they perform at in these really high straight areas.
Mm. Now, one last thing, what is your reaction to Daniel Ricciardo and his relationship with McLaren?
Yeah, that is such a tough one, because you can't hate Daniel Ricciardo. He is a cult favourite, you know. You don't want to see him doing badly. He's always got a smile on his face, even in the worst of situations. But something's not right there, you know. I don't want to say he's old, but he's up there in age. But it doesn't seem like he's meshing well with this McLaren car. And there are rumours that he might get dropped at the end of the year. The CEO of McLaren, Zak Brown, he's made a few little remarks saying that, you know, we're not getting out of this deal what we expected to. We have options if this doesn't continue going well. So it's a concern that Daniel Ricciardo could lose his seat. But I don't see where else he would go in Formula One, because he's an expensive driver, because he's not just a driver. He's a brand, you know. He's kind of an enigma, you know. There's like something about Daniel Ricciardo, and he brings in a lot of money, so he's not just paid to drive the car, he's also paid for the money that he brings to the team. And I don't see a team that would be willing to pay that if he's not going to perform, especially when he's got this McLaren this year that Lando Norris is performing so well in, got P6 fastest lap this race, whereas Daniel didn't even make points. So I'm very concerned we might not be seeing Daniel in Formula One next year.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's unfortunate. You're going to have to keep us updated with that. Who knows, man, might even have you in the studio next week. But thank you so much for for filling some time in today, Amelia. We do appreciate it.
No worries.
Cool. See ya.
Catch you later.
That was Amelia.
Nice. Yeah,
filling us in with the F1 news.
That's some serious car knowledge right there.
Oh, it is some very serious car knowledge right there. Yeah, man. So unfortunate to hear Daniel Ricciardo possibly not being in F1 next year due to his time with McLaren being over. I don't think his relationship with them is great.
Damn.
Yeah, a lot of stuff she covered. She talked about the F1 schism with the FIA. Yeah, it's interesting to see how F1's become its own brand.
Yeah, now. Absolutely. I wonder if that's attributed to that documentary that came out on Netflix.
Potentially, yes. I mean, you're drinking a Red Bull, bro, and they're sponsored by Red Bull.
I'm a sellout. I'm married to the corporation. Red Bull.
Absolutely.
Refreshing.
I need you to do an ad.
An unlicensed, unpaid ad for Red Bull.
Oh, man.
Slip it in there, may as well. What's up next?
Oh, gee, I guess I should cover fighting. It's the one time I don't get shit for covering fighting. Hey, Anika, I'm covering Punch Face. Anyways, fuck it.
Punch Face bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know.
Punch Face bad, Joe. Watch fun sport. Watch lawn bowls.
Yeah, but like fighting's a... Come on, it's a fun sport. Watch, right? Lawn it's bowls, not all that. Lawn bowls. Lawn violence.
Just lawn violence. Just UFC out of the cage on the lawn outside.
Yeah, but that's just your backyard. Like
that's brawling. Like WWE, isn't it? Backstage sort of. Without the ring. Minus the actual...
And the money.
See that? I saw a hit on like Facebook or something where a dude got like part of his face just ripped off. From like a pretty nasty hook.
Oh, that's the right term.
Classic,
yeah.
Just deformed. Ouch, that sucks. Oh well, all part of the fun. Punch Face bad.
I mean, it wasn't. It was pretty interesting this week. Or the past weekend because of Javonte Davis and that spectacular knockout of Rolly Romero. Now there was a lot of trash talk going or heading into this fight. Yeah, they were originally supposed to fight in December of last year. They didn't. And yeah, man, just Javonte Davis is so fucking good.
Yeah.
It is insane. That guy is a master at boxing. And he has ridiculous punching power. His technique is beautiful, and he just is so articulate in the art of boxing.
He's a master of his craft.
He is.
This is boxing, not UFC.
This is boxing. Boxing. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is Javonte Davis's last fight under Mayweather Promotions, although I have heard some rumors that he'll continue to fight under that promotion.
I mean, after what sounds like a pretty insane knockout, who knows? It could have been his last, but Mayweather's like, oh, this dude's making me bank.
Yeah,
as well get him on for another fight.
Yeah, he's been under Mayweather's tutelage for a while, nice. But I think he kind of wants to take control of his own career.
Fair.
Yeah, man. I think Javonte has like a 92% knockout rate. Before heading into this fight, I think he was on like a 16-fight knockout streak, I'm pretty sure.
Jeepers.
Although his fight before this with Pitbull, I think it was Isaac Cruz, went to unanimous decision. But like Isaac Cruz is a dog as well, man. So that was going to be a hard fight for Davis. But now before that, we saw the, that spectacular slip uppercut. Knockout to Santa Cruz, and yeah, and then we had that that other body shot TKO to Barrios. But yeah, man, his fight with Rolando Romero was interesting because of the differing styles, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to simplify it pretty much, Rolando Romero is super, he's awkward, he's not really technically inclined. You know, he makes a lot of mistakes. He's crazy offensively. Like, he's got these wild shots.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll come at you with all power, you know. But in doing that, you're kind of neglecting the whole defensive side of boxing, which is just as important.
Yeah. So, I can assume he's just like waves of rapid, throws of punches and such, and then just... When he gets tuckered out, he's just trying his best not to get him to get smoked.
Pretty much. But thing is, this was in the sixth round, right? So if I show you this. I just got reacting to the knockout here.
Is it me or are they really small?
They are really small, right? Javonte Davis is only 5'5".
Oh, yeah. Wait, did it happen? Sorry, I missed it.
Ooh. Yep, so that was the knockout there.
He fell over.
Caught him with a, I believe it was a catch and shoot left hand. It was a left hook.
Oh, he just crumbled, eh, over there. Yep. He's just, because I didn't know it happened until it was after, but.
So essentially what happened was, at least to my knowledge, was that Rolando, it's important to keep in mind that Javad Tank is a southpaw. And Rolando's an orthodox, right?
Right.
So Romero's obviously going to have that, use his right hand as his power hand.
Mm.
Tank's got his left. Essentially what happened was is that Rolly went in for the that right hook to the body. And this is textbook counter in boxing.
Yeah.
Catch the right hand to the body, and then you fire back.
Boom.
Right, with the left hook, right?
Right.
And that especially works if someone overextends.
Yeah.
Or if they just don't bring their hand back to their face. In Rolly's case, because he's so awkward and he's not really defensively inclined when it comes to boxing, Javonte Davis caught him with that pretty fucking easy.
Yeah, shit.
You know?
Yeah, 1 minute they were fighting and next minute he's on his ass.
He's out. Yeah.
Burgers.
But again, bro, it's just like, it's basic stuff and yeah. I mean, I feel bad for laughing at this because like, someone got knocked out, but the memes were just too good to leave alone, bro.
I mean, that's like literally a good, like one of the perfect examples of why techniques are important. People unfamiliar with boxing just assume you just go in there and the objective is to beat the shit out of the other guy, but at the same time, you gotta protect yourself.
Nah, I mean, like, it's just so important. Like, it's, I can't stress it enough, you know? Like, it's important to realize that this is an art and that there's so much detail and technique that goes into it. And yeah, Davis just showed him, gave him a perfect lesson in that. Yeah, Rolando believed that he won every single round of that fight up to that point. It kind of seemed like Davis was trying to knock him out.
Okay.
So I think he only landed or like threw 26 punches throughout the entire duration of that fight.
So a very defensive fight then.
But he was trying to catch him.
Yeah.
You can tell he was trying to catch him to prove a point, right? Because if he was to catch him and with something early on, or even just halfway through the fight, it would show that, look, bro, you know, Romero's not really about it. He's not really defensively that good in the ring. Yeah, this was the most realistic prediction of this fight. Like, going into it, I think Davis was the heavy favorite, just because everyone knew he was going to catch Rolly at some point.
Yeah. 6 rounds, that's pretty good effort, though.
Yeah, bro. Out of 12.
Patience is insane. I'd get pissed off that I wouldn't get him.
You'd just be like real tentative. Like, okay, like, well, like, what's gonna happen? You'd be worried. You know, you've got that that adrenaline rushing through your veins.
And payoff. Boom.
Yes.
See you later. Take that paycheck.
And according to Davis, he never even hit him that hard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just hit him in the right spot.
Hit him in the right spot, man. But the, like I said before, the trash talk was interesting.
Oh yeah.
Because it was just fucking, like, the press conference was so weird.
Was it just like,
like, it was like Rolando was trying his very hardest to shit talk Davis.
Yeah.
And like, oh, you got a big fucking head, I'm gonna knock him out and I'm gonna do all this shit.
Schoolyard.
You know? Yeah, it was shit, real schoolyard shit. And Davis is like,
What
the fuck?
Reminds me back in like 7th grade, someone trying to steal my lunch money or some shit. Eh?
Something like that, but it just didn't, like, it didn't work out. Like, it just didn't really make any sense, you know?
I guess that's why it didn't end up paying off for him.
Nah, just, that's the thing, like, Davis's demeanor doesn't come across like that, so he's just not that kind of person that does that sort of shit.
Well, he's hoping, is it Rolly you said lost?
Yeah, Rolly's his nickname.
Rolly's his nickname. I hope he learns, I guess.
I mean,
talking up a bunch of game and then just fucking throwing himself into it doesn't exactly work.
Who knows? I think he needs to just, I don't know what he needs to do. I'm not a pro boxing coach or anything like that.
No, I mean, but you're right, you know what you're talking about, so you can have an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe he should just go back to the gym and seriously work on his technique. That's what I would say. Yeah, man. So that's the main thing for boxing. I know there's some UFC on this weekend, but there is quite a lot of fights coming up, which we will cover in another episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, man. Reading this, on a different note, Dwayne Johnson's daughter is debuting. Making her pro... Is it? Is she really?
No, are you, isn't Dwayne Johnson The Rock?
Oh, yeah, yes. Dwayne Johnson is The Rock, yes. But this is... Yeah, her daughter is I'm not sure she's debuting in...
Professional or just in general?
I think she's doing some sort of professional wrestling. I'm not sure if it's in the WWE.
Oh, okay.
That's not telling me. No, I think she is. Yes, she is making a WWE debut.
Oh, shit.
Are they criticizing her name? If they just tell me what her name
Simone.
Is.
Simone. Simone, yeah. Simone Johnson. Oh,
okay. So they're...
Shit, she's been with WWE for 2 years.
Okay, so they're so they're basically saying that if they don't give her the name The Rock, and if they don't introduce her as The Rock's daughter, then that just doesn't make any sense, right? That's the thing with wrestling name. It's the brand.
Mm,
it's marketing and shit. It
says her wrestling name here is Ava Rain.
Ava Rain?
Ava Rain. She announced it on her Twitter on Sunday. And she said she'll go by the name... Her name is Simone Johnson, her real name. She's 20. It's The Rock's daughter, of course. And, yeah, she announced her name as Ava Rain and is facing backlash from wrestling fans saying that she should have chosen a moniker that pays respect to her father. Saying, so one Twitter user in particular joked that Simone should have picked a name that connected back to The Rock, for example.
The Pebble.
The Pebble. The Pebble.
The Boulder.
The Boulder. The Stone. Oh, there's already Stone Cold Steve Austin in WWE.
Someone said Young Rock.
Young Rock, Little Rock, like some shit like that. Oh, wait, isn't that like a city in Arkansas? Little Rock? No, yeah, Little Rock, Arkansas. That's got some history in that place.
Yeah, so probably not the best name.
No, shit, Rock. No. Little Rock, no way. That's exciting. Good to see that the Johnson dynasty is continuing on, making fucking squillions for that family.
Fourth generation, man.
God dang, fourth.
Fourth, yeah, because High Chief Peter Maivia and then Rocky Johnson.
Oh,
and then there was The Rock. Yeah, Dwayne.
Yeah, he lived in New Zealand for a bit, eh?
He did.
Went to Grayland Primary for like 2 years.
Fuck, did he?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's cool.
I thought he, I didn't know he went to Grayland Primary.
Yeah, I read that on his Wikipedia. I don't know where exactly they got it from. It could just be some dude just taking the piss, but...
He was such a good wrestler, though, The Rock.
Yeah, I reckon.
Especially in an era when, like, wrestling was largely mainstream. I guess it still kind of is now.
It's in like a... I was actually talking about this on Powered Up yesterday with Jack and Jake. It's in like a new era where it's almost like self-aware. Like it's back, like even like 10 years ago, 15 years ago when I was watching wrestling super avidly. It was like, there was still like an element like this is like 100% real. Like everything is like, these characters are like real people and stuff. But now I think they've kind of like, they've made it a bit self-aware that it's kind of
scripted,
obvious.
It's scripted, it's fake.
It's still like, it's a crazy combination of like super intense athletics combined with character acting, which is, I think
so
it's
weird.
It's a super slept on like art form because it's like doing two incredibly difficult things at once. Just like, I mean, you can just snap on and off when you're an actor. It depends if you can kind of, you go method or anything like that. But I doubt any WWE people or any WWE wrestlers are going like full method acting or anything like that. They're probably just adopting a character and turning it off when they go into the dressing room.
Yeah, I mean, some people don't turn it off. Like, I've heard some people definitely get like really into their characters.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But like, I can understand that if you're a movie actor, but if you're a pro wrestler, bro.
Yeah, it's a bit. I mean, I think I respect the crap out of wrestlers, just like what they put themselves through and amount of work and training that goes into it. Is pretty insane. Like, just like this, everything's like synchronized to a T, and especially like the really acrobatic stuff, and it's real fluid motion. And I haven't watched it in some time, but it's pretty dope.
Neither, bro.
I would never do it, but it's cool. Like,
it's,
I guess
it's so, like you said, it's such an athletic art form, but like the character building definitely plays a massive part.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In where your career goes, you know, and I think that really just depends on how much work you put into it. But it's also your physique as well.
Maintaining that physique and how
marketable you are.
Yeah.
Like, I do know that you'd obviously see these like big jacked superhero looking guys like John Cena and stuff who would be on the front, like the front page of magazines and who'd headline pay-per-views and stuff. So it was definitely about that image too. Yeah,
there was a huge problem back in the 80s and 90s of steroid use in WWE though, which is unsurprising. That was probably just like one of the multiple drugs that those guys were taking in that kind of time. But I think that's definitely now not the case. I think because of results, like serious certain events that have happened as a result of like injuries, like to do with head injuries especially, as well as just a combination of bad shit that was depressing that led to stuff like Chris Benoit.
The Chris Benoit situation was so tragic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that, like, because do you know Dark Side of the Ring, the documentary series?
I used to be really into wrestling when I was younger, and then like over my teenage years, I kind of like slowly go back into it because I had some mates who were watching some stuff in Japan.
Oh, yeah, New Japan. Wrestling.
New Japan is
great.
It's like the opposite of WWE,
It's less about the characters, more about the craft.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like if you watch, there's this one match that Jack from the other half of Powered Up showed me. It was between Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles.
Which I remember when it happened,
Just watching that match, it's like, it's crazy. It's like I don't even know how to describe it. You really just have to watch it and understand the craft to be able to just like be like, holy shit, this is like the best it's gonna get.
Yeah, for sure. Which is weird for pro wrestling because when it's done really good, it's actually really entertaining to watch.
Oh, yeah, sure,
but you're like, this is fake. Like, this isn't even real fighting.
Like, you gotta like get it, separate yourself. Like, wait, this is not real. This is not happening. You guys aren't.
But it's just cool because they're doing flips and shit.
Yeah,
and it's
like, oh shit, I knocked the table. But yeah, they're doing fucking flips and throwing each other around and smacking each other with steel chairs and ladders and whatnot.
Yeah, we were around when I started watching when Bullet Club became like real, where like was starting to come up, and then Shinsuke Nakamura signed with like WWE, and then that was when I got back into it. And then I think it was for like a year or two, when you had like Omega and what's the other guy's? I forgot his name. He was like a blonde Japanese guy, and he had held their title for ages, and there was so much hype around it. By the way, their characters not like unrealistic, right? They do like some weird sort of character gimmick stuff, but like it's really not like, when I was watching it at least, it didn't seem outrageous. No. It just seemed like, oh, okay, they're kind of perceived as like athletes, right? But it's then, and they're doing athletic stuff, but like it's also
a character.
It's also a character slash. It's a different approach. It's a unique approach. But yeah, that's when I got back into it, and then after that, I just stopped watching it after a year. It was fun. It was fun, though.
Yeah, I watched it pretty casually from the ages of, like, 8 to maybe, like, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped because I probably found some other shit to watch. And I never really thought about it until I went to uni, and I met a couple people just in my class, and we were just talking about it and just bringing back, like, old memories and shit. And they're still, like, well, I watched it over the whole time and stuff, but I think the last significant event I remember vividly watching WWE was a WrestleMania that I got a pay-per-view for. I was like, Mom, can I get a pay-per-view for this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't remember which it was outside. That was the first outdoor WrestleMania ever. And I remember I did the Chris Jericho submission move on my friend.
Yeah.
And, like, it really hurt, and he started crying.
I did that shit on my friend, and it didn't even hurt. And that's when we realized, holy shit.
it's not real. To be fair, it could have been, I was like 9, 10, so he could have been putting it on, but I was like, oh shit, I met my friend.
The walls of Jericho, man.
The walls of Jericho. I've forgotten, I was actually just thinking like some significant moments. I've forgotten everything.
It didn't make any sense, bro. Like, how's it going to hurt? The dude just like pulls on your leg and then sits on your like butt, or like your, like your lower back.
Beats me.
Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, it doesn't. It's like a chiropractor move or some shit, eh?
He had this other move called the Lion Tamer.
Who's your favourite wrestler out of curiosity?
My favourite wrestler out of curiosity? Well, that's the thing. I've always been... I was obsessed with wrestling when I was younger.
Yeah.
And so, like, I watched a lot of stuff outside of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, my favorite wrestler. When I was younger, I got really into a wrestler called The Great Muta.
Oh yeah.
And he's regarded as like a legend in the sport. Man. But like, I just liked how, like, intense. I just liked, he had, like, real super dramatic, like, he was kind of like the Undertaker in Japan. He was considered, like, the Undertaker.
Okay.
Yeah. Real quick, this was Chris Jericho's submission to Lion Tamer. It looked way worse. It was like, kind of like the Walls of Jericho.
Old Chris Jericho, damn. Oh.
This was in the 90s in WCW, when wrestling was mainstream.
Justice was switching over from WWE to WWE.
Around that time. It was more around the time of, like, the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, I mean, WCW dissolved after a bit, didn't it?
They dissolved in 2001. Yeah, so I think because Vince McMahon brought that competition. And then, yeah, I've always liked... pro wrestling's one of those things where I've always liked the more... I like the athleticism more, but then I also like how there are some guys who are so charismatic... Right, and then you're just drawn to them, like guys like The Rock and like Stone Cold.
That was Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy's a favorite. Oh, everyone loved. If you're a kid, you like, and you watched WWE from the years of like 2004. I want to say, but he was in TNA briefly.
That's when I was watching it pretty religiously when he went to TNA. That was him and Ric Flair, one of the only two at TNA.
Yeah. And
now AEW's got an insanely good lineup now.
AEW's, yeah, so that was formed by the guys who were in Bullet Club.
Okay.
So Bullet Club was started by, I think his name's Finn Balor.
Oh, Finn Balor.
So he started it in Japan, right? Okay. And then a bunch of other, and then a Kiwi, and then I know him and a Kiwi guy called Tox Farley started. And I actually talked to Tox Farley a few years ago, right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he offered me to print out some pamphlets for the show that they were doing here. And put them around the school. And he was messaging me, being like, bro, if you do it, I'll come meet your dean. But I didn't do it because I was like, oh, fuck. I'm getting in trouble.
Yeah, true. I went to that's dope, though.
Like a semi-private fucking boys' school. And I'm like, I'm not
going
to do that.
Yeah, I never really looked outside. When I was watching it, I flicked on Box and whatever was on Channel 5 on Sky.
Oh, when I was on the Box. I mean, when I was on
SmackDown.
Yeah. Oh, I used to watch that fucking every night, bro.
I pretty much was just Raw or SmackDown for me. The occasional NXT.
But NXT wasn't that good until like later on.
No. Then I got back. I just out of curiosity, one of my mates' bands, they're actually quite famous, Alien Weaponry. Their theme song, the NXT theme song was Holding My Breath, which is one of their songs. And I was like, oh shit, I'm going to tune in to NXT next time and just listen to the song. But then I ended up just watching the whole thing. I was like, it's pretty cool. Remember like the NXT when I was watching it, guys like Heath Ledger. We're in the ginger, the Heath Ledger, and oh no, that's the actor. Heath someone. Damn it.
His name Heath Slater?
Heath Slater, that's not Heath Ledger, Jesus, that's the Joker, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's that guy that played the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's
amazing Heath actor, by the way.
100%, yeah. Heath Slater and Festus. Remember Festus?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was
he became Gallows. Yeah. And then he joined Bullet Club as well.
Oh
later
he did,
on.
Okay.
Oh, there's so much pro wrestling stuff. Okay, so a while ago when we first started the podcast, I remember Rob was telling me, this was around the time of like WrestleMania. He goes, I reckon we should do something in WrestleMania. And I'm like, we'll see if we can do stuff in WrestleMania. It's not necessarily sport.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to talk about because pro wrestling's can get so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, we've been talking about, 15, 20 minutes now? Something like that.
About pro wrestling, yes. And so there's so much shit to talk about, right? Especially what happened in the 90s. And you mentioned Dark Side of the Ring earlier, and I wanted to pick up on that. Because Dark Side of the Ring was real interesting, because it brought to light a lot of just the real messed up shit.
Behind the scenes shit, yeah.
Behind the scenes, you know? And I think it's important to go over that stuff, because it just goes to show how that stardom can get to your head.
Oh, for sure.
And how a lot of these guys were viewed as superheroes, and a lot of them were like terrible human beings, you know, like Ric Flair. I don't like how Ric Flair is just portrayed as this ball and kind of like ultimately successful guy, and then he did that shit on the aeroplane to that air hostess.
I don't know about that. What happened there?
I don't know if I should mention this on the podcast.
I'll just Google it now. I'll leave it up just to the.
He did something very inappropriate with an air hostess. Air hostess got very, very uncomfortable. And, it wasn't a good look. None of the other superstars on the plane at the time helped, except for one guy. I think that was Goldust, his name was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Spread what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's up to you, listener, to look into that.
Yeah, you can look into that, but it was a bit messed up.
Yeah. Was that on Dark Side of the Ring?
That was on Dark Side of the Ring.
Okay, so yeah, the two episodes that really got to me was the Chris Benoit one, of course.
Yeah.
And the Bruiser Brody one.
That was messed up.
That was crazy, man. That one.
That's insane.
For those of you unfamiliar, Bruiser Brody was stabbed to death in the changing room in Portland. I think WWF at the time, they were doing a show in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And he got stabbed to death in the changing room. And no one knows what happened. There was like an altercation, like a little, not like a physical fight, but I think there was like a kind of like just a shouting match. And a couple of other wrestlers at the time walked out, and then they heard screaming, and Bruiser Brody was dead. Stabbed in the showers. I think someone was convicted and like found guilty of the murder, but I know there was a lot of kind of speculation about it at the time, and still I think to this day probably still
so there's just so much talk about it.
And this is why I think late 70s when this happened. It's coming up 50 years ago in the coming years, so it's pretty it's crazy that shit happened. But that Chris Benoit one always gets me, man.
That's so shock, like I can't fathom. Just, it's so shocking, something like that, especially of a guy like his caliber.
Oh, for sure. He was in his prime at that time. Because I think the thing that really tipped him over the edge was Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie's passing, that was rough.
And then they did the memorial, and before they found out the circumstances of his death and his family's death. Oh, I cannot imagine being in Vince McMahon's shoes in that instance. Well, just in any of the WWE wrestlers' shoes, just knowing him personally and then finding out about that, that'll be so conflicting, I can imagine.
Yeah, man. It's just, it goes to show how important, I guess, mental health.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're like, on the surface, these guys are like characters, but they're really beating themselves up afterwards.
Yeah, what they're going through, man, like, I know they're on the road a lot and they're like always working.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
And oh, this guy's like Mick Foley as well. That guy
has put himself through so much.
Absolute hell. Like, I remember seeing just this chiropractor thing on fucking TikTok or something of Mick Foley just at a chiropractor's, and then just thinking, like, damn, he must be brittle. Just because, I mean, I remember that one, he like launched himself off the top of like your cage in Hell in a Cell.
That was the most iconic
against Undertaker
wrestling moment, arguably.
And all of his teeth are in his beard and shit. It's like, that's.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I just, they really put themselves through hell. And I'm glad that, I mean, I'm not glad that, like, bad shit's happened as a result of it. But, I mean, sometimes.
He gets the recognition, bro. He gets, I think he probably deserves his flowers.
Oh,
he
shit.
He deserves
so
much.
Yeah. And, like, tough things and, like, bad shit that's happened is obviously, like, it's a hard lesson to learn. But it's good that it's learned. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying shit like bad instances, like Owen Hart's death, for example, or like bad mental health, like the treatment of like Ric Flair's incident and the way Macho Man Randy Savage treated
Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, that's none of that. Obviously, none of that is warranted. But it's good that positive change has come from such incidents. Like the mental health and physical health of like performing artists of that caliber, I assume they have the necessary resources to. I don't really know. I haven't really kept up much with it, but
to be honest, I'm not even sure. I think they do now because of public backlash, and you can see what that sort of culture does to a brand like that. But I mean.
So it's like we could be talking for hours in here.
We legit could be. Do you reckon this could be something we could cover in another episode?
I reckon we could, for sure.
We'll have to get Rob on board, maybe Jack.
Yeah, Rob. Jack is very, very good. He's very knowledgeable about
wrestling. On pro wrestling? Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be
we got to do a good
couple episodes, even if we find struggling to find stuff. If we're in an instance where a couple people can't make it, for example.
Yeah.
It'd be good to just talk about.
Absolutely.
Like you said, not really a sport, but it's still
interesting to talk about. Yeah. I just think I think it's cool because of how it translates over to like fighting. So into fighting and how it translates, right? Yeah. And how like that whole era of trash talking and fighting started with like Muhammad Ali, arguably. Yeah. But like Muhammad Ali definitely popularized it.
Oh, for sure.
And he got that from a pro wrestler, right? And Muhammad Ali's one of them.
Like, did he? I didn't know. Who did he get it from? Was
from
it?
He's
Bruno Sammartino?
Nah, Gorgeous George.
Ah, yeah.
So Gorgeous George would come out and be super mouthy and stuff, and right. Then Ali, ages ago, he did an interview. I'm not sure when. I think it was in like the 60s, and he said, "Oh yeah, I got like my, or maybe no, it was probably the 70s actually." He got his moniker from Gorgeous George and like pro wrestling and stuff, and he took that into the boxing ring, and obviously that got him heaps of eyes. 100%. It's like, man, who's this guy who's like fucking good at fighting?
Yeah,
and he's talking all this shit, man. He's like, I'm the best, I'm the greatest.
Who the fuck is this guy? He's like, I'm Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali.
I done tussle with a whale, handcuff lightning,
throw fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Thunder in jail. Yeah, man.
Yeah. You got anything else to cover?
Not really. Like, I feel like we've probably not gone over some politics and sports, but like, I don't know. See, this is the thing when Anika and Rob aren't here.
We just waffle.
I mean, like, having you and Jack on the show the last, like, I don't know how many weeks has been a blessing, man. So I got to give you some props for that.
That's sure. I enjoyed coming over Yarn on the show.
Yeah,
love,
man.
Love getting the monkey shit here. I mean, you're fucking extra special, Joe. Can't not say no. I mean, I probably should have gone home to do assignments.
Same.
But I've got 3 more days to do them.
We do them today.
And yeah, I mean, I don't have classes this week, so I'll be sweet. Although one thing I would like to mention, but going back to football, there was quite, I think personally, the greatest prank I've ever heard ever of Everton fans shithousing Liverpool fans. So there was a bus ticket, £1 bus rise from Liverpool to Madrid for Liverpool fans to take them from Liverpool to the Champions League final in Paris, which is close enough to England to be able to drive there. So there was a coach service, I forget what they were, I think it was just Coachline Services, what the company was called, and they were offering £1 bus rides to Paris where the Champions League final was for Liverpool fans. And so they said to arrive at the bus stop by this time and we'll get you to the game. So a bunch of Liverpool fans, like a busload full, like 30, 40 people, arrived at a certain bus stop in Liverpool, and they were there till about 11:30 at night when they realised, oh shit, we're not gonna be able to get to this game.
Yeah.
Turns out Coachline Services, it was just a prank by an Everton fan who is Liverpool's rival team, because they're both from Liverpool, both Liverpool teams. And there was a fake name of the guy who owned the company called Richard Arlison. And Richard Arlison is like a moniker for a player called Richarlison, who's probably one of Everton's best players.
Yeah.
And he's known as being a little shithouse. So in summary, TLDR, too long, didn't read, didn't hear, an Everton fan made up a bus service to take Liverpool fans to Madrid and then just ghosted them after they booked it and paid them the £1 fee. And good 20, 30 people missed out on the Champions League final because of this. I mean, it's pretty cruel. That's possibly the greatest prank of all time.
Yeah. What a cruel joke,
that
man.
That is cruel. I mean, it's perfect. Everton have had a shite season, so
That's the least they can do, eh?
It's next level shithousery from them.
I'm sure there's so much shithouse stuff like within football that like between football fans and rival clubs.
Sometimes it can get. Oh, actually, another thing I did want to mention is Saint Etienne in the French league just got relegated to League Two.
Yeah.
And fans invaded the pitch and were fucking not happy. They were chasing after the Saint Etienne players, like throwing flares towards their tunnel, which is just unacceptable.
That's not on.
It's not on at all. Like, these guys, they're humans at the end of the day. They're just playing professional football. Although, of course, the result might not be what you want. And getting relegated, of course, sucks. But it's just unacceptable to attack the players. Because, like, this is, like, seconds after the full-time whistle blew. People just running onto the pitch, no chasing after that. The players. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is not on. Straight up not on.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, and that's not the first time. The week before, in the last week of the Premier League, I don't know if we touched on this last week, but Aston Villa, who were playing Man City, who eventually won the Premier League, their goalkeeper got attacked by City fans, apparently, according to the Villa coach, Steven Gerrard. There was footage of the City fans invading the pitch, and the Villa keeper, Robin Olsen is his name, kind of like ducking away from the fans and stuff, which is, it's just unacceptable. Like, these guys, they're human.
Yeah.
It's just sport at the end of the day. Maybe it's passion, but there's a line. You can't step over that line. There's absolutely no need for, Like, you can, you, of course, shit can be, you can like, take the piss online, you can criticise players, because, I mean, it is a competitive sport at the end of the day.
They're, but when you're threatening someone's livelihood,
oh, yeah, no,
though,
shit,
man.
No, that's a line, and you cross that line. So, I'm hoping some serious action can be taken there.
Hopefully, jeez.
By the FAA or whoever is in charge of that shit, because that's just 2 weeks in a row, it's real unacceptable.
That is messed up.
Yeah, sad note to end on, but hey,
nah,
it's reality.
I mean, like, it is reality. You know, you do need to address it. Is there anything you were watching this weekend, my friend?
Football's over, so just the transfer windows for me. Yeah. Transfer windows starting. My club, West Ham, needs some serious investment. We have a very thin squad right now, so I'm hoping. We have a list of targets that's been released for players we want, and it is a good-looking list, so I'm hoping we can land some of those targets. So no sport for me this weekend. Maybe the NBA playoff finals. Celtics, Golden State.
Yes, the Celtics versus Golden
Warriors,
State.
Yeah,
I didn't see. I haven't been keeping up with basketball. The NBA has not had a lot of eyes on it.
No.
Nah.
Because I think it's just nothing unexpected this year.
There's just much more important stuff going on in America
really?
Than the NBA
finals.
Yeah,
America and Ukraine as well. Just than sports, there isn't really anything really to focus on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Celtics, Golden State. I mean, Celtics have been in form. Golden State at Golden State. Guess we'll
Golden
see what
State's
happens.
So good this season.
Yeah, and nothing unusual over the past few seasons, hasn't it been?
Yeah, man.
I don't know, really. Last time I watched basketball was when James Harden was at the Rockets.
That was a while ago.
What was it? Yeah. I think 2 years ago max, or minimum, sorry, because he's at the Phillies now.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Phillies, that's baseball. He's at the 76ers now. Yeah. And he was at the Nets as a part of that massive deal that saw, like, Kevin Durant and James Harden go for, like, 7 or 8 rookies. To where I think, I don't know where Kevin Durant came from, but yeah, a bunch of rookies went the other way where Durant and James Harden were headed to the Nets, but that didn't work out for them. They fucking bombed out that season, and now James Harden's at the 76ers.
Yeah, man. Oh, well. Can't do much about that, man. I gotta look more into NBA. It is quite a popular sport. Although, like, in saying that, it's a popular sport and might get, you know, maybe a bit too much coverage. But yeah, definitely watch the NBA finals.
I think the Blues are
doing
all right too.
Blues, I reckon they'll win.
It'd be good for them if they do.
I reckon they'll win the entire thing.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I don't really. There's no more South African or Fijian teams. More South African or Japanese or Argentinian teams. It's just New Zealand, Australia, and then Moana Pacifica and Fijian Drua.
Moana Pacifica beat the Brumbies. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was good for them. I got a few mates on that Moana Pacifica team.
That was very happy for them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, our first 15 also did well. Shout out to St. Peter's first 15. Coming from a Simkin student sitting right across from me.
I don't care about the first 15. The one thing I will say, even though St Kent's has had quite a lot of investment into the first 15, I'm very happy that it's actually paying off. I see a lot of people that I know who I went to school with who are actually playing professional rugby, and I'm really happy for them. And I mean, because I was always salty at school because I was involved in performing arts and we got fuck all, as opposed to like the first 15 and all the sports and stuff. And I'm really, really happy that it's paying off for them. They've put a lot of players put all of their school lives into playing rugby, and it's actually working out for them. Some players playing, a lot of them are actually kind of just dotted throughout the New Zealand and Australian teams, as well as Fiji and Drua and Pacifica.
Killing it right now. It's so cool to watch people reach new levels.
Yeah, fucking makes me proud. Makes me really proud. Even though I wasn't really friends with them at school. Still cool to see.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. 100%. Man, we should probably finish up soon, but...
Yeah, damn, you got a lot of editing to do.
Actually, I ain't got much editing to do. That was good. That was, I guess UFC Fight Night, Volkov vs. Rosen Strikes on this weekend, so if you want to watch UFC, watch that. There's so much shit going on at the moment, so apologies to everyone out there that we're not as up-to-date as maybe we should be, and that, you know, we will have Robin and Nika back next week, and I'm sure they'll have a lot to talk about.
And if you do want to have something talked about on the show, I mean, I'm not really part of it permanently, so I can't say much, but do not hesitate to contact Joe, Robin and Nika on the Playbook Instagram.
Oh, you're plugging it. Yes.
Hell yeah.
You should also follow 95BFM Powered Up Radio on Instagram as well.
Do it.
In my opinion.
It's great. It's a good account. We keep everything nice and updated.
Yeah, we don't. But the Playbook Instagram does not, because I barely just got to, like,
yeah, you
got to
start something, man. It's only one way up from rock bottom.
We have, like, three... Sure. That's a great way of putting it. We only have, like, 3 months' worth of content that hasn't been put up there.
That's all right.
But it's all good. We'll put it up anyways.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. if you manage to sit through it.
Yeah, probably not. I'll listen to it. Anyways.
Yeah.
See ya. Cut.
See ya.
Suey.
Bonk. Suey. Cristiano Ronaldo.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.